This is Take It or Leave It, the podcast releasing the raw, unedited teachings of Jesus. We are called to share his holy and powerful word that is not commonly taught, so all may be armed with knowledge of his commands. We are expected to live according to God's standard. Though this world may change, our Lord and Savior does not. Are you sure you are saved? Are you sure you are not distracted by this world? All teachings are shared with the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Will you take it and implement change into your life, or will you leave it and continue on your own way? Jesus is coming quickly. Are you ready? I'm your host, Madison Santiago. Hello and welcome back to Take It or Leave It. We are continuing our study of priesthood. It has been a lengthy study, but definitely filled with very important teachings. Last podcast, we took a brief break from priesthood as it was Resurrection Sunday, so we revisited those teachings appropriately, but we are back into the series today, and I want to kick things off with a reminder that we are to be prepared to worship God every single day with our lives. We must present ourselves acceptable to Him in all things. And I want you to remember that. Amen. Let's proceed with priesthood. So we know that after the anointing, priesthood is not complete. And we learn of the sin and the burnt offering that are to follow. Do you remember talking about this? We were talking about the offerings, the sin offering and the burnt offering. And I want to add here that there are many other offerings, but we are not going to study them all. After the Holy Spirit comes upon us, sins are remissed. We confirm this in Exodus and we see the sin offering, right? Then the burnt offering, which is the total offering to God. Do you remember talking about this? It was symbolic of our dedication and devotion. There are many teachings today of people declaring and proclaiming things of God today, but if there is no authority in the person by God, whatever they are declaring and proclaiming, it doesn't work. Man's point of view and God's point of view are different. Influence should be from God to man's spirit. Okay, we're not on earth just to influence man. Right? And I'm referring to man influencing man. We are on earth to influence man's spirit. Okay? It's about demonstration of the power of God. And that's not just words. People today, they're not convinced by talking. People want to see his power manifest. You cannot just have thousands of followers on social media. You must have power from God. Even if you say things that are correct and aligned with scripture, you still need power from God. If you cannot show that, they're not going to believe you. People are not going to believe you. Without demonstration, it's just words. And Paul confirms this, all right? We've studied that before. The power of God does not manifest if you don't move. All right? If you're not moving, you're just in religion. If you are not moving forward in a calling from God, you are just in religion. These types of people, they talk of natural things, but they don't talk of spiritual things. There's no demonstration of God's power here. We must be engaged with people, and we must talk with people about God. If not, that can't be Christianity. You have to take the truth of God to those who don't know. We must. It's an absolute must. That's what we're called to do. It's the will of God. The message is not to serve, but first to repent. I'm going to say that again. The message that we should be teaching others is not to serve God, but first to repent so that you can get the power to serve God. People must be hungry to repent, not hungry for power in gifts. Okay? If you don't engage in the work of the ministry, you are not a priest. Priests are ministering unto God. Remember that a priest is between man on the outside and God on the inside, mediating between the two in the tabernacle. Remember, the will of God is for those on the outside to also become priests. Unless we engage with the outside, meaning unless we engage with other people, where is the spiritual influence? How will we even begin to influence another spirit? If you cannot influence with the power of God, you have no testimony. It will just be focused on natural things. I want to take you to Acts chapter 2, verse 38, and it says, "Then Peter said to them, 'Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit.'" Amen. Peter said this. All right, so ground zero is repentance. Ground zero is repentance. Sins are remissed here. Then the Holy Spirit can now be received. Amen. Verse 39, "For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." Okay, so this verse mentions endless promise. The promise is to you only if you do these things. It's conditional. God is very clear. Then the Holy Spirit is in a person. Amen. After you do these things, the Holy Spirit is in a person. It comes upon a person, then consumption. All right, we talked about this before. This is the whole offering. The whole offering is burned and it's consumed for Jesus. There's nothing left for self when we do this. Remember, dedication and devotion. This is possible by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because many people say, well, how will I have nothing left for myself? I have to live. I have to do all these things for myself. By the power of the Holy Spirit, this will come to pass in your life. Let's talk about the cleansing of the parts of the body for a priest, okay? Remember that priesthood is difficult. And if your life does not appear consumed by God, you need to go back to ground zero, which is repentance. Amen? Let's go to Exodus chapter 29. I'm going to read verses 19 to 21. And it says, "You shall also take the other ram, and Aaron and his sons shall put their hands on the head of the ram. Then you shall kill the ram and take some of its blood and put it on the tip of the right ear of Aaron, on the tip of the right ear of his sons, on the thumb of their right hand, and on the big toe of their right foot, and sprinkle the blood all around the altar." Verse 21, "And you shall take some of the blood that is on the altar, and some of the anointing oil, and sprinkle it on Aaron and on his garments, on his sons, and on the garments of his sons with him, and he and his garments shall be hallowed, and his sons' garments with him." Okay, very specific here. Why the right ear and not the left ear? Is there a significance? I think we can agree that it doesn't matter, because whatever God chooses, we agree with, right? We submit to him. But it's good to understand why God said the right and divide the word of God correctly. Okay? So left and right, they have different meanings. These terms are used to describe positions. All right, we're going to go through a couple different examples here. In Genesis chapter 7, verse 23, it says, "So he destroyed all living things which were on the face of the ground, both man and cattle, creeping thing, and the bird of the air. They were destroyed from the earth. Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive." Okay, so this is the English Bible that I'm reading from, but it's important to remember that this was originally written in Hebrew. All right, so whenever you actually search the word left, you're going to come up with the word shoar in Hebrew. It's a verb. It's mentioned 133 times, and it means to leave or to remain, reminisce, to remain, left behind, left. That is the meaning that you will come up with. And in the verse that we just read, it says, "Only Noah and those who were with him in the ark remained alive." Okay? Let's go to Exodus chapter 34, verse 25. And it says, "You shall not offer the blood of my sacrifice with leaven, nor shall the sacrifice of the feast of the Passover be left until morning." Okay, so be left until morning. So again, the word is shoar. Translated in English is be left. And in Genesis, in the first verse that we read, it's used as remain, right? Noah was remaining in the ark. Here, it's used as to be left. It should not be left, all right? And it's important to point this out, because when we fail to divide the word correctly, it means that we will misinterpret the scripture and we will be lost. If you do not divide the word correctly, you are lost today. All right, so we can talk about the word right as well. This is not only a direction, but also used to say it is correct. Let's go to Genesis chapter 24, verse 48. And it says, "And I bowed my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, who had led me in the way of truth to take the daughter of my master's brother for his son." All right. So this verse actually doesn't say the word right anywhere, but it does say the way of truth. That is right. In the King James Version, and for context, I just read the New King James Version, but in the King James Version, it says in the right way. All right? So there's another Hebrew word here, amit. Now you should note that you are not more holy to know the Hebrew word, okay? It's good to know and it's good to study, but knowing the original meaning of everything does not make you more holy, all right? It makes you a diligent student. Amit is an adverb which means truth, truly, right, faithfully assured, okay? So we have shoar and we have amit. And again, I want you to be careful. Just because English Bibles say one thing, it doesn't mean that it is the way that it is in English. A study of the Bible must begin at the origin of the word. There is also symbols of left and right in the Bible, and Jesus teaches us that the condemned go left of Christ. The saved are at the right of Christ. We can read that in Matthew chapter 25, verse 33, and it says, "And he will set the sheep on his right hand and the goats on the left." Okay, so left and right. It's so clear. We also have Ecclesiastes chapter 10, verse 2, and it says, "A wise man's heart is at his right hand, but a fool's heart at his left." So clear again, right? The heart changes from left to right. We can see that here. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 34. So why the ear? It hears, right? Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 13, verse 9. It says, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, so we know that ears hear. Ears are meant to hear. Verse 10, "And the disciples came and said to him, 'Why do you speak to them in parables?' He answered and said to them, 'Because it has been given to you to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been given.'" Okay, so the disciples were given the mysteries to know the kingdom of heaven. This information was not given to all. Jesus is very clear here. Verse 12, "For whoever has, to him more will be given, and he will have abundance. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken away from him." Okay, so Jesus is sharing that the disciples have more knowledge. Having ears brings continued growth and maturity, right? That's what we can learn here. "If you have ears, I will give you more," Christ says. He's so clear. This is Christ's attitude towards those who have ears. You will not have to guess because you can know. Verse 13, "Therefore I speak to them in parables, because seeing they do not see, and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." Okay, so who is they? These are those who don't have ears. Jesus says he makes it more complicated. He speaks to them in parables. This is the attitude of Jesus towards those who don't want to listen. And it's a good reminder for us to stop talking to the same person who doesn't even want to listen. Find other people who want to listen. That's a teaching of Christ. Verse 14, "And in them the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, 'Hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts in turn, so that I should heal them.'" Okay, and here's what Jesus says to the disciples. Verse 16, "But blessed are your eyes, for they see, and your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you, that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." Amen. You know, the book of Revelation are letters to the church, because Jesus knows that not all have ears in the church. Maybe they have natural ears, but not spiritual ears. Even if spoken clearly, they don't understand. Why? Because they don't have ears. All right, you need to look at this spiritually. No matter how many versions of the Bible there are, people still won't get it if they don't have ears. It doesn't matter if it's New King James Version or King James Version or ESV. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You must have ears. Let's go to Revelation chapter 2, verse 11, and it says, "He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches." And that's a capital S, right? That's the Holy Spirit. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. Amen. So he who has ears, you have nothing to overcome if you don't engage in kingdom work. There are people overcoming challenges, but only because they work for God. These are promises for them. Okay? An unsaved person in church is spiritually deaf. I hope that's clear at this point. Not all who come to church have ears, or else Jesus would not say this. A priest waits for nothing but the instructions of God. And you know, today you can call a priest any name. Judgmental, a fanatic, a freak. And a priest will call that person lukewarm. The burnt offering is consumption of the priest's life. It's devotion and dedication to God. The priest is never sidetracked. Why not? Because they're devoted and dedicated. Amen? If you serve sometimes, then don't other times. You are not a priest. If you've not repented yet, go back to ground zero. If you don't see evidence in your own life that you were not consumed by the Lord, go back to ground zero. If you find yourself questioning others for their level of seriousness because they might be more serious than you, go back to ground zero. Do you remember the story of the prodigal son? We talked about this recently. His senses didn't return to him until he decided to repent. You know, priests, they're not confused people. The Lord delivers priests from confusion to understanding through his wisdom. God is not the author of confusion. Jezebel is confusion. It literally means, huh? You know, when you're confused, you don't understand what someone said, and you look at them and you say, huh? It means confused, not knowing which way to go. Priests must have an ear. Okay? They must have ears to hear. Priests must separate from the noise of the world. So even your ears become critical to the conversations people have, to worship music, because you want to ensure that things are lining up to God's word, to his scripture, to his holy instruction. Amen? So what do you do to hear God? Do you go golf? No. You move away from the things of this world. You move away from the things that you want to be doing anyway. You move away and towards the things and people like God. Even Jesus moved away to listen to God. And unless we move away, we cannot hear God. All right? It's simple. Unless we are consecrated, unless we set ourselves apart, we cannot hear God. I'm not saying you can never go golf. But if you're trying to hear God, separate. Separate. Amen. In conclusion, in the anointing of the ear, Jesus removes confusion with his peace, which surpasses all understanding. And that's confirmed in Philippians 4:7, which reads, "In the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding." Satan is the author of confusion. He loves confusion. Just look at this world. People don't even know if they're male or female, right? They're so confused. They want to like both male and female. That's 1 Corinthians 14:33. Jesus is not the author of confusion, but of peace. When God anoints with the Holy Spirit, we declare ourselves devoted to him. Then he heals our ears. You know, and still today, many like to say, God talks to me. Are you sure? How do you know when you really hear from God? How do you separate yourself from the things that God says to? You have ears. Hearing opens you up to hear instructions in the orders of God, to understand them. When God tells us something, anything, we don't say, "Oh, tomorrow, Lord." We do it now, because faith is now, and it comes by hearing, as confirmed in Romans 10:17. So do you have ears for God? I'll tell you what, if you skipped repentance, you have only been hearing yourself. And this is shared with the love of the Lord. And this is take it or leave it. God bless you all.